So many things feel uncertain. We don't know what the future holds. People have been holding out, making big decisions until we know the outcome of last week's election or till we know what happens to Brexit. But if you know where your future is going, you can map your way through life with confidence. Today we reach the end of our journey through Peter's second letter. And the closing verses of New Testament letters are often very significant as they sum up the major themes. In this letter, Peter has shown us where history is going and how we can live now in the light of it. The good news is that if you're a Christian, you're already on the right course. You're going in the right direction for where things are heading. But Peter had to write to these Christians because they need to be careful. As verse 17 says, be on your guard. Don't let your guard down. Watch out. Take care. Beware. Because there is a real danger that we allow ourselves to be deflected from that right path through life. There are two dangers. One that comes to us from others, and one that comes from within. So we're going to recap this morning. We're going to unpack these final two verses of the letter together, and they will remind us of what Peter has said throughout the letter. They'll tell us how we need to be on our guard. But before we get to the details in these verses, let's just notice how this little passage starts. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, or some other English translations, since you already know these things. So these closing verses, the whole letter, is about the importance of living out what we already know. And it's just a warning to us as Christians not to be always on the lookout for something new. Now, of course, we should never stop learning. Being a Christian is about lifelong learning, and that's one of today's main points, in fact. But the biggest danger is not actually failing to learn. The biggest danger is that we don't live out what we already know. When you first become a Christian, you're learning all the time. Every time you read the Bible, it's full of new things. Every Sunday, the sermon teaches you something new. When you've been a Christian for a while, the rate of new stuff slows down. But we still read the Bible. And we still need to hear it preached in church, because each week our life will contain challenges. And so each week is an opportunity to live out what we know or to forget it in the way we live. And 2 Peter has lots of warnings not to forget what we know. Lots of language of forgetting and remembering in this letter. And these two verses start on exactly that note. And what this means is that we need to be careful as we come to church each week not to spend the whole sermon listening out for something we didn't already know. In fact, that was what made the false teachers that had infected the church that Peter writes to so dangerous. They were saying something new, when in fact, we just need reminding of what is old. As we approach Christmas, many vicars worry. What am I going to say? What could I say that's new? I've said it all over the past decade of Christmases. One wise Christian said to me, don't tell us anything new. Just tell us the old, old story. And as you read the Bible, as you sit and listen to the Bible being preached, don't ask, what is new here that I didn't know? There might be something like that in there, yes. But always ask, what here does God want me to take away and put into practice, whether or not it's new? So then, dear friends, since you've been forewarned, be on your guard. Be on your guard of 2 things. 1 danger from without, 1 danger from within. Number 1, take care that you don't fall. Take care that you don't fall. Verse 17, be on your guard that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. This is the danger from without. Let's just unpack it together. The problem starts with the people he calls the lawless. This is the same word that he used in chapter 2, verse 7, for the inhabitants of Sodom. Lot was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless. The problem starts with people who don't want God to tell them how to live through his word. They want to let their feelings dictate what is right and what is wrong. And then what they do is they construct a form of Christianity that lets them do just that. That's what Peter means by the error of the lawless. That, by the way, is the same word that Peter had in chapter 2, verse 18. The false teachers entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. You see, the problem was not just that these people were lawless. Their lawlessness had become a lifestyle, a religion even. A way of life that they were convinced was okay. And because these false teachers were Christians, or claimed to be, they were convinced that God had no problem with them simply indulging their feelings. As long as nobody gets hurt, as long as there's consent on all sides, as long as I can argue that this is loving behaviour, then God has no problem. So they recast the Christian faith into something that allows them to have the lifestyle that they would like. The error of the lawless. And Peter says, don't be carried away by the error of the lawless. Don't be swept away. You think of those pictures from the news when we get bad flooding in some parts of the country. And some river breaks its banks and sweeps down the main street of a town. Sweeping away not just rubbish bins, but cars swept away by the water. I was on the North Devon coast earlier this year, in early summer, in Lynmouth. And a number of decades ago, there was a huge flood when the two rivers that converge in Lynmouth were both in full flood at the same time and swept away a sizable part of the bottom half of the town. And they've since built a museum and various things commemorating that tragic event. Well, these false teachers, living how they please, indulging their feelings, teaching that Jesus doesn't require you to stop such behaviour, and their lifestyle, their teaching, so very appealing. But like a flood, they have broken the banks of the true Christian faith. And so we mustn't be swept away by what we wish was true. Because of the next thing that Peter says in this verse, we would fall from our secure position. Now, if you think about it, that's a weird combination. And Peter wants us to feel the dissonance here. If the position we have is secure, how can we fall from it? But that is exactly the point. We Christians are in a really secure position. Our identity is all bound up with Jesus. The same Jesus who has taken on death itself and come out victorious. The same Jesus who is presently seated at God's right hand and will one day come back to this world. The word for secure is the same word as the word for established in chapter 1, verse 12. Even though you know these things, these truths, and are firmly established in the truth you now have. But here's the problem. We also get that same word again, only this time in the negative, in chapter 2, verse 14. They never stop sinning, the false teachers. They seduce the unstable. So that the established can become the unstable. And you become unstable if you stop paying attention to what God says in the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. And you start being drawn towards this false teaching start being drawn towards their lawless way of life. So we are secure because we know Jesus. Drift from Jesus and you fall from your secure position. So that Christians who have the most wonderful eternal security, who are well taught, who are established, can become unstable and fall. And I've watched with tragic tears in my eyes, really, as over the past few decades, well-known Christian leaders who once upheld historic Christian teaching in the churches they led and in the wider ministries they had and the books they published, have then turned from that Lord Jesus, drifted, swept away by the surrounding culture, and now would deny many of the things that they once defended. There's the warning Peter has, though, for his readers and for us. The lawless, their error, being carried away, falling from our secure position. Be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. And then Peter's second warning, the one that comes from within. Take care that you grow. Take care that you grow. Verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Back in September, when we were looking at chapter 1, we talked about the importance of growing as a Christian. You don't become a Christian and then sit back and you've arrived. No, here's chapter 1, verse 5. For this very reason, because God has given us all we need for both life and godliness, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Every effort. Lots of Christians just coast along. We don't put much effort into growing as a Christian. We certainly don't make every effort. And chapter 1 gave us a wonderful list of 7 qualities. If you weren't here that week, or if you want to refresh your memory, all these sermons are on the church website. You can go and have a listen. If we're a healthy Christian, we'll be growing in those 7 areas. And when we looked at chapter 1, we said that a healthy Christian is both like a healthy plant and like a cyclist. Like a healthy plant, in that healthy plants grow. Some plants grow really slowly. Cacti, oak trees. Some grow really fast. Leylandii, cress. But they all grow. And a plant that isn't growing at all is in trouble sooner or later. Like a cyclist, because you have to keep moving forwards. And this brings the two halves of our passage together, in fact. Verse 17 told us to take care that you don't fall. And then verse 18 tells you the best way to do this. The antidote to falling off is to keep moving forwards. Keep pedaling. Make every effort. I cycled into Seven Oaks the other week. We had lots of rain. Apparently we get lots of rain at the moment. But it was a lot because I went down past Noah's Ark and then up that way. And the other side of the bridge at Noah's Ark, where the water runs off the field, there was kind of that sort of depth of water. And normally that bit doesn't flood unless you get a lot of water running off. Well, I didn't really want to cycle all the way back up the hill through Noah's Ark and down Chargebridge Lane, so through it it was. And it was just simply a matter of build up enough of a run-up, pedal hard, and then feet off the pedal so I don't get 6 ton of water over me and hope I've got enough momentum to get through. Because if I stop, I fall off. You'd be glad to know I got through. But you have to keep moving forwards if you're not going to fall. Now let's look back at what we are to grow in. Back in chapter 1, we had 7 qualities. Here there are just 2 things. And they take us right to the heart of what matters to Peter. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Firstly, we grow in grace. Grace means kindness from God that we don't deserve, that we haven't earned. that is completely free. Peter says we grow in grace, and he says it so that we're absolutely clear. We put down our roots into what Jesus Christ has done for us, anchoring ourselves more and more securely in the gift we've been given. So when we read that list of qualities in chapter 1 that we're to grow in, goodness, knowledge, self-control, mutual affection, so on, we aren't working our way into God's good books with our good behaviour. Christian growth is always growth in grace before it's anything else. But then second, we are to grow in our knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. A few weeks back, we talked about the fact that other languages have two words for know. There's knowing a person, and there's knowing a fact. And I talked about how easily we Brits get them confused, and how I mistakenly told a French person that I have a personal relationship with a particular shop. Well, grow in grace is all about the fact that we need to know Jesus, know the person. Christianity is a relationship, not a bunch of facts that you have to stuff up here. But the word here for knowledge is the word for knowing facts. It's savoir. Having got to know Jesus, we spend the rest of our lives, the rest of eternity, getting to know more about him. There's always more to discover of Jesus. You can never exhaust him. Which is why I said earlier that what I said about novelty, it's only part of the story. Yes, that we mustn't always be looking out for something new. A lot of being a Christian is about living out what you already know, and novelty can be dangerous because it can be wrong. All of that is still true, but there's another side of the coin. As Christians, we should be always learning, always aiming to grow in knowledge. You can never say you know everything there is to know about any subject. Nobody knows all that there is to know about geography, even if you know a lot. But how much more is this true of Jesus? He is God incarnate. He is infinite. There is no limit to how much there is to discover. So don't settle at just knowing the basics, the ABC of the King of the Universe. He's brought you into his family, and he wants you to get to know him better and better. Grow in grace. Grow in knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. This letter of 2 Peter, it's all about Jesus. Peter has some very lofty titles for him. Chapter 1, verse 1, the first verse of the letter. Our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And then chapter 3, verse 18, the very last verse of the letter. Our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. It's all about him. He is the one to whom belongs all the glory. We're in a culture that worships celebrities. Sports stars, actors, musicians, politicians even love to take the stage and have all the attention on them, making their lovely speech as the count is announced on Friday morning. But when all is said and done, there is one person, and one person only, who is the true centre of attention, on whom every spotlight will shine, who is worthy of our worship, and that is Jesus. It's true now, verse 18, to him be glory both now and forever. It's true forever as well. Literally, both now and in the day of eternity. So this letter ends with one last reference to that great day in the future when Jesus will return in all his glorious majesty, when every knee will bow before him, voluntarily or not, when every mouth will proclaim that he is the center of the universe, the center of history, the one who deserves all honour and worship. It's all about him. And so if we know him, we are on the winning side Absolutely, surely. If we know him, our lives are aligned with where the whole of history is heading, which makes it all the more tragic if we are deflected from that right path. So we need to take care. Take care that you don't fall, carried away by the error of the lawless. Instead, take care that you grow. Grow in grace. Grow in knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and for the day of eternity.